Good morning. It is good to see you all. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Today I'm preaching on the choice, God's way or my way. And when you get to Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, if you're able to. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word, and we pray, dear God, that your word will penetrate our hearts, that your word will be planted inside of us, that we will feed on it and meditate on it so that it will change us. And Father, we pray today that God, we will all make the choice to take your way, to lean on you, to listen to you and follow you in every aspect of life. And Father, we ask and pray that as I preach this message, Lord, that God, you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit, and don't let anything come from me, Lord God, but this is all from you, Father. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. We love you and praise you. Amen. Something that I find pretty interesting is that people often try to separate their thought life from the actions that they take in life. What meaning people's thoughts and a lot of times what they do are two different things. A person might say that they trust in God, but it is the actions of their life that will indicate the choice they made and what's going on inside of them. We must always choose God's way, which is way of trusting Him. Now, trusting God is obeying His word. And I want to look at the first four verses this morning. Solomon is writing to his son. He's teaching his son the right ways of living. And what I want to look at is all of us at one time were kids, and then all at one time, a lot of us were parents raising children. How many of you have had kids and raised them? Okay, I see some hands going up there. So we all, I hope that all of us as parents have done our due diligence at raising our children in church and raising them in the ways of the Lord and in His Word. So Solomon is trying to give his son the right ways of living and how to make the right choices by keeping his eyes upon God. And Solomon told his son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So, set aside from that, we have God's commandments. We have God's ways that we are to obey as His children. Now, God has given each and every one of us a free will. God is not a dictator. God is not going to smack you on the back of the head and make you do things. He created you with a free will and your own desire to choose the way in life that you want to go. But I also believe this. I believe that God really does desire that each and every one of us will follow after Him, that we will know His Word, that we will follow His commandments, that we will be deeply committed to Him in everything in our lives, that we will subject ourselves to Him, that we will submit to His will and authority. Because I want to tell you this, we can make choices in our life and we can go our own ways, but sometimes we can make the wrong choices and we could end up in places that we never thought we would actually be. How many of you have ever been there? Oh, I can raise my hand. How many times, you know, the Lord, see, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit at the time of Jesus' ascension to be our guide, to convict us of our sins, to teach us how to live, to live and to keep us strong and faithful that we would not fear. So a lot of times when you're getting ready to do something and you ever hear that still small voice that would say, you shouldn't do that. You better not speak those words. I know a lot of times in my life, I would have that still small voice inside of me as a young Christian guy, and I'd go to my grandparents because I always leaned on them, and I'd always say something to my grandma about it, and grandma would always sit me down, and she said, son, that is the Holy Spirit of God talking to you. She said, you better listen to that voice. And you better heed to what it's saying. And I found out when I got more into God's Word that God spoke to me a lot through His Word. I find that in His Word, in His commandments, if I obey His Word, if I obey His commandments, that I stay in divine fellowship with the Lord day in and day out. And, you know, something that really I thought of Stan when I was getting the sermon ready this week, Stan Harpole, because Stan was a good guy. Now, I didn't know him early on, but I've had many good visits with him when he was over at his first apartment, then when he was over here at the Century Care, I saw him over there, and then over at the VA, I was going to see him, and every time I saw Stan, he smiled. But I've talked to Vicky and I talked to Cindy and I learned a lot about their dad. I learned about what kind of a man he was, how he revered the Lord, and how he loved people greatly and dearly. And it really made me think when I was reading about length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. To me, from everything that I heard, Stan Harpole was a good, peaceful man. He loved people. He loved the Lord dearly. But 93 years old, he had a long, good life. God blessed him, and he touched so many people over the years. And I can tell you this, it may just been a short time that I got to visit with him, but what an impact he made on my life. The first Sunday that I went to the VA to go see him, he had been asleep. I was talking to his daughter, one of the daughters, and he woke up and he opened up his eyes. And I had to get close. He had his hearing aids in, but he couldn't really hear all. And I said, hi, Stan, it's Brother Jim. And boy, he had a smile come across his face, and he tried to get up. He wanted to get up and hug me. He wanted to sit on the edge of the bed, and he wanted to have good conversation, but they were making him lay down because of the situation he was in. But just from that, and I can think of of so many people, even from the days of the Bible, Noah and Moses, Dave, people who feared God, but they had a long, good life. And that's what God wants for us. God just wants us to trust Him and obey His Word. It's that simple. But we get this thing involved sometimes, and we try to do things our own way. We want to apply our own meanings and our own ways to the Word, and sometimes we listen to the devil speaking and causing confusion. If you remember in the Garden of Eden, what did Satan do to Eve? Satan went to Eve and says, now he basically, I won't go through the whole thing. He just basically took God's word and he twisted it and he said, well, surely you wouldn't die. God said, but surely you wouldn't die. You'll be more like him if you eat of that fruit. And what did Eve do? She took the fruit and ate it and opened up her and Adam. Well, Adam took a bite too. It's not just Eve's fault. I want you to know that too. I always say Adam should have been right there with her. I don't know where he was, but Adam ate of it too. They were both wrong. So get that. I've heard a lot of men say, well, the woman ate the fruit. Well, the man ate it too. So that's the end of that discussion. They was both in the wrong. But God wants us to obey His Word. That means with every decision, everything in life. And when I think of how Noah obeyed God, I mean, to build a boat on dry land, they'd never had rain before, and Noah's telling everybody, hey, the rain's coming. And they laughed at him. But he remained faithful. And he built the ark exactly to God's specifications because God found favor with Noah and his family. And why did God find favor with them? Because they trusted in Him. They chose His ways. Now, trusting God is also applying His Word to life. And these are two of my favorite verses in this chapter. 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, that is the easiest thing right there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God's not asking you to do anything difficult there. He is just asking us to trust Him with all of our hearts. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So just kind of like, act like Solomon was speaking this, if Solomon was speaking this to you, he was saying to his son, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on what you're thinking. Too many times in life, we make choices, and we make choices based upon what we think or how we perceive them. I gave a little illustration some time back, and I'll do it again. You can take an apple, a fresh grown apple that's ripe, and you can eat it, and it is absolutely pure, it is absolutely healthy, and it's good for you. And that's the best way to have an apple, in my opinion. But you take that apple and you cut up that apple and you put it into a skillet or some kind of a crock pot and you add sugar and you add cinnamon and you add whatever other kind of ingredients. And all of a sudden, that apple is no longer healthy. Because of all the sugar and all the things that you put in there, that apple has lost its nutritious value. And so when you eat that apple, it ain't as good for your body as it was in its natural state. I like to eat apples like that sometimes, though. They're good. But anyway, what I mean by all that, people hear God's Word. And when we hear God's Word, we need to listen to it as it's given to us. Because when you read and study God's Word, It is pure. It is power-filled. It is life-giving. It will change you from what you once were. It will help you to grow in Him. It will enrich your life. But here's the problem. People over the years have gotten into God's Word, and they've taken God's Word and they've changed it. They want it to mean something else. They twist it because they want it to apply to how they see it or how they think of it or how their religion sees it. And I'm not going to get into a religious discussion this morning or give you my thoughts on it. But what I'm saying is people have taken God's Word, and when you twist God's Word, it is no longer able to give the power, to give the direction that it once did. Because once man gets a hold of it and does what he wants, it's not the same, basically. And the sad thing that I see in this day and age is people fight over what God's Word means. Well, let me tell you something. If you ever find yourself fighting or arguing people over what God's Word says or means, here's what I... Don't have discussions like that with people or arguments. Here's what I suggest doing. You open the Word of God for yourself, and you pray to God, and you ask God through His Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, to give you discernment of His Word, and to fill you with His knowledge. Because, like I said a while ago, the devil is always waiting. He's always ready to twist God's Word. And one thing that I see people doing today, and I may have mentioned this before in sermons, but I'll say it again, is people are saying, well, you know what? You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and as long as you get your fire insurance, you can live however you want because you're covered by His grace now. Well, that's not how you're supposed to live. You can't say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and then your life is lived a whole different way. It doesn't work. I believe people who choose that belief are still on their way to hell. Because Jesus said, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and He said, follow who? Jesus said, follow me. That's right. Jesus doesn't tell you to follow somebody in your church or to follow some popular preacher on TV because of what they... Jesus says, you follow me. When we follow the Lord and we listen to His voice, we will never be led astray. Now, last Sunday, Pastor Kent Christmas gave the message, and I tell you what, it was very powerful. I mean, it was about waiting on God and resting in Him. And he talked about how people get so busy and they try to do the work for God. God never intended us to do His work, what He's trying to do. God wants us to do our part. God wants us to live for Him. God wants us to trust Him and follow Him and obey Him at all cost. And you know what? There are times in this life where we have to rest. And sometimes we need to just be quiet before God and say, Father, I can't do this. I don't know anymore. There's times of exasperation in life when you're overwhelmed and you say, Father, what do I do? And if you will rest before the Lord and let God do what He wants to do in your life, He will give you the answers that you're looking for. Trusting God requires a humble attitude. Verses 7 and 8. Whoops, I went one page too far. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. That means don't look at things from your own perspective, how you think of them. When a man thinks that he's wise, he's really foolish. But when a man comes before the Lord, says, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I want you to work in my life. I want you to help me to grow. And when a man or a woman starts to read the Word of God and starts to pray and live for Him, that's when they become wise. That's when you become wise. I used to, growing up in church, I used to hear people say, the preacher would preach something, and then I'd hear somebody say, oh, well, now that's not how I was raised. Well, don't listen to people when they tell you, well, that's not how I was raised. You listen to the Lord in your life. But fear God and turn away from evil. Fearing God means that you respect Him with your entire being. You take Him at His word. Now, I want to say this. We should fear God because of who He is, how great and mighty. Because God can cast your soul into hell. Fear Him for that. But also fear Him with a humble fear. Be humble, be loving, be respectful before Him. Be compassionate as God is compassionate. But turn away from evil. There's a lot of evil in this world, and there's a lot of people who are ready to deceive. You've heard them. It's called a wolf in sheep's clothing. And they're out there all over the place. And just when you least expect it, the devil can bring anybody or some type of situation your way because he wants to turn you away from God. But if you will turn away from evil, and if you will turn your full attention to the Lord God, then the Lord, He will deal with your life and He will put into you the things that you need from day to day. And having a relationship with the Lord, the Bible says it's a refreshment to the bones. Having a relationship with the Lord brings such joy. It does. It gives true peace. Wednesday night, we're sitting in our chairs and we're watching a show called Fixer to Fabulous. We like to watch those remodeling shows. It's about the only thing good on TV anymore. But we're watching that show and a tornado warning went off on our phones and we looked. I got the weather map up on my phone and I looked and I said, well, the worst of it, it's over there on the other side of Carterville over by Carbondale. And Janine said, oh, I don't like this stuff. I said, it's all right. Just all we have to do is we trust the Lord. Now, if that thing was near our house, then we have to be smart and go take shelter and take some kind of cover. But the thing is, during the entire storm Wednesday night, then we had another tornado warning go off about 45 minutes later, and there was a tornado about 5 miles away from our house. Well, then that kind of gets your attention. But even in the midst of that, trusting in God brings the greatest calming peace that I've ever experienced. Yeah, tornadoes are very scary, and I would not try to stand out there in the road and rope one and try to be some goofball about it. But I would respect the power of that storm. But you know what? Above that storm, I will trust God. And God gave me a brain to think with, so I'm going to go take shelter now. But when I'm in that place of shelter and I'm protecting myself and my wife and whatever happens, I know that the Lord is with me because He's always said in His Word, He will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. But we have to be humble before God. Humble. That means no pride. See, pride's one of those seven deadlies. And sometimes we think swallowing that lump in our throat will kill us. But you know what? You get rid of that pride and get rid of that vanity and get rid of the self-centeredness and you humble yourself before the Lord. I mean, you ought to see the things that can happen in your life. I want to reflect. I'm not putting her up on a pedestal, but Candy Christmas, Pastor Kent's wife, over 26 years ago, was suffering from a debilitating condition. I won't say what it was, but something she struggled with for a long time. And a man came to her one day and said, "You know what? I've been praying, and I think I know exactly what you need. Why don't you come with me down under the bridge in downtown Nashville and help me feed the homeless and the hungry?" And she did. And she got so moved by humbling herself, she saw what was going on in the city of Nashville, something that she maybe not had really seen before. And now, week after week, she makes sure. Now, from what I've been told, when COVID happened, they shut down that section underneath the bridge and they've had to move to another area in Nashville. But still, she makes sure that those that are hungry and don't have anything have food and have clothing and have some type of warmth or whatever they need. And 26 years later, she was delivered completely from the condition that she had been fighting and struggling with for some time. Humbling yourself before the Lord, it ain't going to kill you. It'll make you better. There's a lot of times that we need to watch what's going to come out of our mouth. We need to really be careful what comes out of our mouth. We need to be humble because you never know what somebody's going through that's around you. I've always said people make you mad and upset. And that's when you just say, "Lord, I forgive them and I put them in your hands." But too many times we want to take on this anger, we want to take on these feelings, and we want to hold grudges again because somebody yelled at us or somebody was mad. And you don't even know what was going on in their life at that time. It wasn't even really directed at you at that point. But yet we'll take a hold of these negative feelings and emotions. And we'll fight with one another in church. Because you know why? The devil wants to divide the church. He wants to divide the body. So see, you're a follower of Jesus. You are a part of the body. Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. And if we're telling people that we're followers of Jesus, we need to have a humble attitude, and we need to be the body that He's called us to be. Because the body of the Lord should be a loving body. It should be a servant body. It should be a committed body, and it should be forgiving and loving in all things of life. I'm going to tell you this. There's going to be a lot of people that will say things to anger you in church. But that's, like I said, you have to forgive them, give it to the Lord, and let it go. Because when you let something like that fester in your life, it will turn into the most ugliest sin, and it will drag you down, and it will defeat your life. And it will keep you from growing in the Lord and being blessed by Him. And trusting God is recognizing that He is the owner of everything. Everything that you have in life, it was given to you by God. It ain't yours. You know, I thank God daily for what He's blessed me with. But it's not the things that I'm thankful for. Here's what I'm thankful for the most of all. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that each Sunday that I get to come to church and share the Word that the Lord has laid upon my heart. And I'm thankful for the fellowship that I get to have with my Christian family, the body of Christ. And I'm thankful that God supplies my needs daily, because I'll tell you what, when you're a thankful person, when you realize who God is, that He does own it all, He's just given it to us on temporary loan, that we didn't do none of it. That's one thing that'll keep you humble too. Realize we didn't do none of what's going on. The things that happens in your life, when you've prayed for somebody and you see them healed, remember, we didn't do that. It was God that did it. I've been hearing a lot of things lately, praying for people, and I'm hearing back from people, man, this is what God's been doing, or I've been healed. And I tell them, then you praise Him. Praise Him. Give Him the thanks. Give Him the honor and the glory, because God did it all. See, when we leave the face of this earth, we're going to stand before Him one day. And we're going to give an account of our life. What is He going to say to you? Did you follow Me? Or did you make your own choices in life? And I preach this message today because I really hope and pray that you will choose God's way. See, He chose us by giving His Son to die on the cross. And why did He choose us? Because He loved us, and He still loves us. Even at our worst, He always loves us.